Hello and welcome. I'm Angela Saeva, founder of Equine Elevation and host of Sovereign Horse. Horses have been the greatest catalyst for growth in my life, and this podcast is no exception. Sovereign Horse was inspired by my herd as a space to explore what it means to support sovereignty in our horses and in ourselves. It is my absolute honor to hold space for the horses and humans who are driving the beautiful revolution and paradigm shift I'm seeing within the equine industry right now. My intention with this podcast is to share the voices and wisdom of the horses, as well as the humans who journey alongside them and whose work is honoring horses as sentient and sovereign beings. I am so grateful that you are here, and I hope you find value and resonance in this episode. Let's begin. Hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Sovereign Horse. I'm so excited to share with you this conversation with my absolutely beautiful and wonderful guest, Dilara Patowdy. She is someone that I was put in connection with through Nika, actually. Nika's been on the podcast before. Shout out to Nika Ware. And I'm so grateful for this connection because Dilara and I just hit it off immediately and found that we have had very interestingly similar journeys from more of a traditional or conventional way of being with horses to very much being in co-creative partnerships with horses. And Dilara is also an equine body worker. She's a craniosacral therapist. She's also an author. She's an animal communicator, among many other things. She's a woman of many talents and gifts, and she also has her own podcast called Being Heard. And initially, she invited me on her podcast to be a guest, and after speaking with her, I knew immediately I wanted to have her on Sovereign Horse. And Dilara and I spoke for, I think, the better part of 3 hours during our conversation, but I have brought it down to about an hour and a half. So there is more to this conversation, but I thought we will let you guys enjoy this hour and a half with us. And perhaps one day I will release the rest of our conversation, but I definitely guarantee that she and I will record together again. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I thoroughly enjoyed recording it.
So here's the thing that I really want to talk with you about, because I've listened to your first couple of episodes, and I am like equally staggered and not by the similarities of our journeys as far as, well, speaking specifically to kind of our kind of arc from like that conventional horse world into this very conscious partnership, where I don't know anyone else whose horses, now hold on, that's not how I want to say it. I don't know anyone else who takes the lead from their horses in all aspects of their life the way that I do and you do. Like, that I saw so clearly. I'm just like, wow, she really like lets her horses guide her, and she really then takes their lead and like brings it into her life and does it, like, regardless of how your human feels about it. You know, like, you will do the thing if you know that's what is aligned for you, and that your horses are dropping these seeds in very intentionally, and you're picking them up and you're acting on them. Like, does that feel accurate to hear?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, even to the point of like your connection with horses with your father, mm-hmm. I had that too. My dad owned racehorses, and, wow. Okay. You know, I didn't work alongside him, but that was the trajectory that I was going on until we started to have our, you know, disagreements, and not just in horses, but in bigger picture things of life. But I'm really, I think, curious to just dive into with you the process of going from that conventional world to the way you are in partnership with them now. And that was a very interesting response your body just had to what I was saying. Because it has been made very clear to me that part of my work is to be this bridge for people who are kind of walking that path, who are in that conventional space and want to hold a more conscious partnership with horses and maybe don't even have that languaging or don't know how to make the shift. And now I've met you, a person who has very clearly walked her version of that path. And so I think it would be really incredible for those who find themselves in that same position to hear us speak about our journeys and even just my curiosity of finding like where the similarities lie, where the differences lie. And yeah, like if, you know, if you can put yourself in like that witness mode of, okay, here's my life and how I got here. I'm curious as to like, what are the points that really stand out for you as like, these were pivotal moments in that shift for me. I know that's a massive, not even question, but just segue in. So like, how do you feel about going from like conventional, you know, polo world to, yeah, you know, I now consciously connect with horses, yeah, like, you know, have a podcast, have written books, live my life in conscious co-creation with these beings who are just so monumentally invested in us as we are in them.
Yeah. I really want to thank you for asking this question. Because I feel in my heart the importance of talking about this as well. And yeah, it's really interesting to receive your reflections too, because it's really interesting. I think that's then how I would talk about that in terms of human design, but it's just really interesting to hear you say things that resonate so much about my relationship with the horses, and we haven't met in person. Do you know what I mean? And you're just based off our conversations. And yeah, okay. So it's just a really beautiful emotional point for me. Okay, are there certain points that stand out along that journey? Yes, absolutely. So for me personally, I feel as though the relationship I have now with the horses is actually more of a, it's not an exact returning, but it feels like a very similar energy to what I felt with horses when I was very young. And so the moments that stand out are, I think I may have shared this on my podcast, but I have this memory of being 7 years old and having a fight with my dad, or it wasn't really a fight with my dad, it was receiving a fight from my dad. And then
there is a difference, yes.
Yeah. And then like running and going to one of his horses, whose name was Loretta, and she's also the horse I learned to ride on. And it was just automatic. I went into her stable and I was crying and I was standing at the back of the stable and she was just standing in there eating her hay. And I was very much for a second like in my own world, just processing. And then I felt this energy come towards me and fill the whole stable, and now I really think about it, probably the whole barn. But I could feel her energy, and I could feel her, what we would say now is holding space for me. But at that time, you know, I was seven, I didn't have that type of language or awareness, but I looked up.
Wow.
And I just knew what she was doing. I was like, I can feel that she was standing like her head, you know, with her back to me. So I was standing behind her. It wasn't like we were standing, you know, in a very symbolic gesture of her head was in my chest or anything. It was just a very simple moment of energy and her holding space and her feeling me and the honesty of what I was feeling and having come to her for support, even though I didn't really realize. I was like, I just need to go somewhere that's safe, you know. And I just remember like my head snapped up and I was like, wow, something's going on right now. And that always stands out as a defining moment of, I say, that's when I really realized for the first time what horses, and it makes me so emotional thinking about this, like what horses really are able to do for us and how giving they are. And it strikes me to this day, like when I see horses ridden or being used for something, how giving they are is something I'm not sure that we can really get our heads around. Because it isn't really that true giving isn't potentially a consciousness that we have collectively stepped into yet. I could be wrong, obviously, but that's my sense. And so that was a very defining moment, and I've remembered it, you know, and thought about it a lot since then. And it was like we became one, but more in the sense of she was offering so much heart energy and so much healing without minding whether I took it or not. You know, it was just like there. And if I was aware of it and received it, great. If I didn't, the energy was still there. That was what it felt like. Wow. And so to go on the journey of growing up as like an adolescent and a teenager and a woman and trying to figure out, I just remember I was trying to figure out who I was a lot of the time, like so many of us are. I was like, what's going on in life? But then horses are this constant thing at the same time. So there was a lot of guilt that I felt around. I can remember that now, and I think I just shoved it down when I was riding. But there was guilt that I felt around riding and using horses because there was this almost like sacred contract that I'd made at such a young age of not doing that. And then I kept turning away from it, you know, and I really felt that. And so at the same time, I placed such a big identity onto myself as a rider, which is something that I know you mentioned when we had our conversation. And it was something that I was really good at, quote, good at. And so I got a lot of praise and a lot of attention, and that really fed my desire to be seen. When I was young, I was like, cool, this is just something that I'll, you know, do now. And at the same time, I saw so many people around me treating horses so badly that there was this constant question. It didn't matter how old I was like, why is this happening? That's not the right thing. And at the same time, I am contributing to this. So, you know, it was that kind of dichotomy of, I love riding. It's something that I'm receiving support by doing. And it's my way of connecting with horses, apparently. It's one way of connecting with horses. And at the same time, there's something that's really energetically off in this entire situation. And so there was a lot of suppression and a lot of pushing down those feelings. And again, when I look at it now, I feel like the horses potentially knew that the whole time. And it was only when I met Florenzo, who's the horse I had the accident on in Argentina, that it was like a stop point. It was like, he was like, I see that you're doing that, and I see what's going on, and I see the truth of, let's say, this sounds like a little bit egotistical, but I don't really mean it this way, of your potential and what's really true and what wants to come out of you. So here you go, like this experience is going to happen and I'm going to help you see that. And so for me, I would say there was a lot of, I kind of fell asleep and then woke back up. And at the same time, whilst I was asleep during those years of riding, there was an awareness at the back of my mind and in my body that was kind of knocking at the door and was like, hey, like there's a different way. You see that guy over there beating up that horse? That's wrong. You see that guy over there beating up that horse? That's wrong. Like all these different things, all these different witnessings. would pile up in my system, so that when the time came for me to wake up and do something different, I had enough criteria to lean into to be like, this is categorically not the way forward. And I feel like because of the nature of the equine industry, where there is so much shadow that gets outplayed by the humans onto the horses, potentially a lot of people may have that, you know, that criteria of like, oh, well, I can remember when this happens. And it doesn't need to be something that's overtly aggressive. It can be somebody who is too in their own story of the day and doesn't give their horse 1 second of respect to just stop and be still and listen to what they have to say. Just that's one way we've been doing it, but it's not the way. And I think people feel that intuitively because everyone has an inner child who is innately connecting to the horses as well. And that's the thing, like, and that's, I'm just realizing that now, like my inner 7-year-old was like, I'm here, I'm trying to get out, like, give me a voice, you know?
Yeah. I feel that so purely in my body right now, like your 7-year-old self just being here, like sharing her truth and like being there beside you as you share this story. Can I just say something before you continue? Because I feel like it was so, it just like really stuck out for me when you used the word potential. And I was like, I really feel that the horses see what we would call potential. Like it's a very human, you know, lens. I think they see that within us and we recognize it as such, but what they really see is like our pure essence, you know? So where we see it as potential, it's like, well, because we, maybe we're not there yet, so to speak. Like we recognize that there's a seed of something within ourselves, but we know we still have work to do to get there. Like whether that's becoming or unbecoming, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. To more purely and authentically embody that essence of who we are. And so as humans, we call it potential because we know it's within us and we can access it. It's possible. And the horses just say like, I can actually see through all of the work, so to speak, that you feel you still have to do to that pure essence. And so they just get straight to it. It's like the direct path, you know?
Yeah. It's like they cancel out the seeking, like the seeker in us.
Yes. Yes. You know, totally.
Who, like my friend Hira has this phrase, which goes like, like, don't try and open your heart, just recognize that it's already open or something like that, you know, like don't seek to open your heart. And I feel like that's what you're speaking to, where we have so often an idea that we need to go on a specific journey to get somewhere, to be someone maybe different or to change something. And obviously there's very real element of life where that is happening. That's always going to happen. And the horses have a way of like collapsing in the moment, the timeline of getting from A to B. And they're just like, exactly like you said, they're like this searing samurai gaze of being able to pull out the potential that they're seeing as what is, you know. And maybe that's what makes and can make some people feel so emotional around horses, is having that feel seen.
100%. 100%. Because it's the difference between like looking at yourself through a kaleidoscope or like looking at yourself directly in a mirror. Like we see ourselves in each other through all of these filters and layers, and like the horses just see the directly to it because they're so in that, what they're really translating and interpreting is our energy. Like they're not having to go through all the human layers that are, you know, I've said this before, like horses speak in energy first and humans we generally go through this whole other process that includes our thoughts and verbalizing things and externalizing things. And they don't do that. You know, they're just purely embodied and present all the time. And we can do that too. And we have all these other aspects of self. It's not a lesser than, or, you know, horses are better than us or whatever. It's not about that. It's just simply that that is why sometimes being purely witnessed by a horse, it feels so intimidating and overwhelming and emotional, because they just connect straight into that, right into the true essence. And then feeling that that's within you, especially if you're a seeker, especially if you're on the self-development path, doing all the work constantly, right? It's just like, yeah, it never ends. It's just always more healing to do. And they're like, oh my goodness, girl, like, just let me show you what's within you. I see it. It's so obvious to me. And, you know, I was saying this earlier too, when I'm like, it's so easy to look at someone else's chart and like synthesize and pull the threads and say, like, these are your codes. Like, this is what you came here with. But it's so much harder for me to pretend that I don't know they're my charts and do the same thing.
But do you think that's also because part of your like soul's mission is to know yourself, like in all of the definition that you have, like to know your individuality? So then you're presented with the challenge of feeling like that's harder to do.
That might be part of it. I've never really considered that. I actually always assumed that it should be easier to know myself because I'm here to know myself.
Yeah.
But what I really see is that for me, I thought that I wouldn't need or didn't need reflections, external reflections to help me see myself. And I've really realized that that's not true at all. In fact, just as we were saying earlier about, like, you know, being in the ocean, on the ocean floor, and then missing the ocean, it's like, I need to witness the ocean to see that in myself. And so where I went through this process of like really stepping out of the world as much as possible, the horses were also the ones who were like, okay, now you got to get back in. Like, it's, you came out, you did your thing that you needed to do, you cocooned, you did your hermit stuff, and that was important. And now you're not going to continue to grow unless you go back out into the world and allow those reflections to come back to you. So yeah, horse medicine has been enormous for me in my self-awareness and knowing of myself, because when I allow them to be that mirror and reflect and guide me, just as we were speaking about, you know, earlier, it's like they plant that seed, and then I trust so deeply that when they do that, it's pure. You know, like, I really trust them so deeply to illuminate for me what I can't yet see on my own. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I really see that you also hold so in the forefront of your life, is that deep trust in your horses and in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually really interesting you just said that at the end about it being about myself and like vice versa for you as well, because what I was thinking when you were saying that was also you have been open to receiving their reflections, which again is that is part of this life, like the life that we're living with our horses. And sometimes I think about how much more open I could be, and what actually, like, the depths of what I would be able to receive. And again, it's like, what I feel intuitively is like, it's so vast that it needs to come through in these like small ways that, you know, it just my human self can handle, because they're just so enormous.
Yeah.
Their energy is like so crazy big. Big isn't even like the right word. There should be a specific word to describe how vast they are and how wise they are. And I feel like a little funnel where I'm like, okay, this piece of wisdom is just going to come through me. And I know that it's probably 1% of like the 50 billion percent that actually is available. But yeah, to touch on that point about trust, yes. And what comes to mind is the guru. I was in Barcelona recently and I stayed the night with some friends. And we were talking about, they are devotees of Amma, the hugging saint, the lady from India. And I was saying, you know, I never really have, I mean, I love, okay, so I do actually feel very connected to Babaji, who is also a guru. But I would say every time I've lent into following a person or following a specific lineage that's just like singular, I always pivot back around to, I have five gurus, like literally on my doorstep. Who, and the reason I'm saying this is because one of my friends said, yeah, the guru helps you move from darkness to light. And I was like, that defines my relationship with the herd. And that also touches on, I think, what you were saying about, you know, as humans, we have all these filters and these other ways that we do things and externalize things, whereas horses are so laser sharp and cut right through to the essence. I feel like one of the major differences is that there is so much of us that is unconscious, and horses are shining their light like into our consciousness in order for us to see that light. And I feel like they show us the light that is already in us, and our sole job with them is just to keep bringing that lack of consciousness or the shadow into the forefront so that we can like pay homage to the fact that they're doing that all the time. But yeah, I do trust them massively, and I've got not hundreds, but it feels like that, of examples where they've shown me the way. And there hasn't been anyone else who's, it sounds a bit harsh, but anyone else who's been able to do that, even me. So, and they have, in the flash of an instant, whether it's, you know, a vision that they've shared or an energy that they've helped me get into, or bringing up an emotion that's shifted a timeline, like they've been able to do it. And it comes back to giving. It just feels so generous when they do. You know, they're just like, they can see exactly what's needed in the moment. And that generosity is, I mean, it's kind of floors me. I'm like, I don't know a human who's able to do that so from the heart. But we can learn from them. You know, we can learn from that amount of generosity and compassion and all of the things that they give us.
It's so interesting because I have been in this like really apparent like initiation around congruence, and I've been witnessing so much incongruence in people who are doing specific work and who are quite gifted in their work. And then I see this other side of them and I think, how can you hold that work in integrity and also act that way in your life? And so it's interesting that you brought this up because, you know, I have studied with some quote unquote big name spiritual teachers and whatnot. And I witness it in them as well. Like there's not a single one of us, and I say, when I say us, I mean human, like there's not a single human I have observed who is in complete congruence or holds like real 100% integrity. And I start to wonder, like, why is this being shown to me so much? Is it that I need to let go of that because it's not attainable? As humans, we're always going to have these shadows. Like the deeper we go, the more that comes up. Like, is it ever possible to be fully congruent? I don't know the answer. This is just a thing that's been, like I say, very up for me. And yet, I think this is another reason why I am so unwaveringly trusting of my horses and their guidance. Because they prove to me that they are congruent. And perhaps it's unfair to even compare because horses are not humans and humans are not horses. But for the majority of us who are on the path of self-development, we turn to humans as teachers. Like we learn and we learn from one another. And I think there's immense value in that. I'm not trying to discount that at all, nor am I trying to like say I'm not a human in this process, even though, you know, I do a lot of teaching and mentorship work and I do my best to walk my talk, but I'm not perfect. And so I have struggled with this in the past of like, well, who am I to share my voice? Who am I to teach this? Who am I to be a mentor to anyone? Like, who am I to do any of these things? Hmm. And then be witness to people who are in these, you know, quote unquote powerful positions, that not that they necessarily wanted to be there, but that have ended up there as gurus, as teachers of spiritual and self-development, you know, work, and to see that they are too flawed and that they also have missteps and have to do their work. It's like, it's so humbling because it really just kind of levels the playing field back out again. And it reminds me of something the horses have showed me about leadership and how for them, they see it as a circle. So it's never that anyone is ever above anyone else, or, you know, even when they step into leadership roles and there is a clear, like, lead horse in a herd, they still don't hold it as, and then that means you're better than, or you're above. It's always still this level playing field. And so I think, like, this is also part of why in my journey, I will ultimately take everything through, like, back to them and kind of be like, "Hey, son, what do you think?" Or like, show me what I'm missing, or illuminate, like, I love that you said, like, illuminate for me what I cannot see, because I'm really in the humanness of my experience and I want greater awareness. I want to see a bigger picture. Like, I truly want that higher level perspective. And also I recognize that I'm really in it right now. Like, I'm not being super conscious about this particular situation.
And do you find that you, because I would love to ask you a question, because what's coming to my mind is like, no, okay, I'll ask you the question. Do you find that you go to your horses for that illumination when you're really in something that you know is also connected, like, to your own shit, so to speak? So then you're like, I can't see, I'm in my humanness, like you said, show me the way. Or is it also a daily practice of just opening from the heart and saying, okay, show me the way today? Or do you have both?
I would say I have both. And I would also say that my horses were tolerant of, more willing to, like, kind of hold my hand through the I'm in it, I'm in my humanness, I've got a lot of stuff going on part of the process earlier on. And then as I walked that path, they were like, cool, so now do some of your own work first. And then bring to us where you're at, right? Like, yeah. So it became, what it really was, is they were saying, like, we're here in support of you. That's not going to change. We're asking you to step into your self-leadership first, right? Like, we're asking you to do what we do as a herd, which is, like, we caretake for ourselves first. So do your work first and then bring to us, you know, your questions or what, like, they really wanted me to be a little more specific about working with them and not just like, oh no, I'm having like a bad day and I'm all over the place, I need the horses to help me regulate.
Yeah.
Not that they won't do that, but it was like, I got like free passes in the beginning of that. Cause they're like, oh, we're helping her, right? Like, she'll get there. And then as I started to become more self-aware and become more conscious, then they definitely were like a little less tolerant of me wavering, I guess, when I would waver outside of almost like there's, it's always, it's like, it's always a spectrum, right? You're never like, oh, I've reached the level and now I'm at the level and forevermore I'm at the level, right?
Yeah.
It's the spectrum, but like you do step into another area of the spectrum. And then for them, they're like, okay, so now that you're in this area, like come to us in this space. Don't come to us before you get to that space because you know you can do that now. Like, right? So does that answer your question?
Oh yeah, totally. Because thank you for answering that. Because I was thinking about responsibility and how,
yeah,
you know, for maybe somebody stepping onto this path of going to their horses and listening to them and asking for their guidance. What I was feeling was, you know, as human beings, it can, there's this consciousness in our collective of using other people and using beings and like using substances and using, you know, just really externalizing our like source of information. And first of all, horses won't stand for that anyway, so actually this, that kind of cancels my point out. But I think what I want to bring awareness to is anybody who starts to do that, who starts to go to their horses to listen, to remember that something they're very good at is calling us into responsibility, and something that is so integral on the path of waking up with them in general, but with them and for them, I want to say, for some reason, is taking self-responsibility and really coming away from the pattern of blame and externalizing our energy. And what you just described about having like free passes in the beginning, which for me, I like kind of relate to that as, yeah, like what you said about I would feel really emotional and then I would go to them. That doesn't happen now. Exactly, it's exactly the trajectory that you just described is also very similar in my life in terms of I feel it in my body when I'm going to them too early, you know.
And
they're like categorically won't give me quote anything, but they're giving me so much in that moment, which is like you go and you do the thing that we told you to do, and then there's this subtle interplay of invitation that comes in. Of, okay, actually, I'm really in need, and can I also come into this space whilst I'm in need? Like for me, I like there's such an invitation that is essential, and that's something that's very subtle to feel, but it's very obvious when it's not there, and it's very obvious when it is. So I guess my invitation is for people who are starting to like connect with their horses at a deeper level to just feel into that. Because I've sat down, like I remember a few years ago, I went into the field and sat down with my notebook and I was like, cool, we're doing our writing today. And I just like went out and they were right in the middle of deep meditation. And I just like rocked up. I can't even believe I did this. And like sat down and was like, let's go. And like opened my book and I like, got out my pen and they literally like, first of all, it like really affected them. Like Latina, who's one of the mares in the herd, she was really deep in her own energetic process. And I completely didn't respect that. And I went in and it was a big learning curve, but she then needed some support going through her own physical process afterwards. Cause I'd like interrupted her flow and then she got stuck physically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I just felt like I was literally, there was like no information at all, because what they were showing me was that piece of being invited in and how part of that is checking in with how much we're taking responsibility for our own energy first. And that includes when we are in a vulnerable space of requiring their wisdom and seeking their wisdom, you know?
100%. I mean, there definitely have been times, like, I think the reason I was able to learn this was like in these difficult times where I was really in it and I would go out with the expectation that they're going to support me. And every time I did that, they would leave my space. Like they wouldn't even engage at all. And then I was left feeling abandoned. Like, whoa, you're the ones who called me into this path and you said you'd be there for me. And now I need you and off you go. And they're saying like, well, not when you're in your false self, Like, not when you're in your story, not when you're in your I'm feeling sorry for myself victim mode. No, not then. This is where we want you to step into the embodiment of what we're teaching you. So it's like, if you're, you know, at level 4 of your teaching, and then you want your instructor to help you with something at level 1, well, how helpful is it really if they actually step in and do that thing for you? And you know how to do it. You know how to do it. It doesn't support you for them to then just like come in and quote unquote save you or do it for you. No, it's supportive for you to then remember what they've shared already, right? And to trust in yourself that you can do it and walk yourself through it. And I think this, I don't know how other people experience this, but I know that because they called me into a space of and role of teacher and mentor, that this is why it's been like really kind of black and white, extra harsh feeling for me, because there's just really no wiggle room. They're just like, I use the word demanding and I mean it. They really have demanded this of me. Like, they're like, we've called you forward onto this path because we see you can do this thing. And so like, we're also not going to let you waver from who you are and what you know you can do, because that dilutes everything for everyone. So I don't know if horses are that hard on like all people who are like stepping into a path of partnership, or if it gets, because I've definitely seen clients of mine who have horses who are very deeply invested in them and in their growth and in their journeys, and they do not give them free passes either. Like, and then I've also seen other relationships with people who it seems like the horse is just always like, oh, it's cool, no worries. Like, oh, it's cool, no worries. Like, she'll try again, she'll try again. So I think like perhaps, and I don't know the answer, but this could be related to contracts too, of like, what are the contracts we hold with our horses and with the collective, right? That maybe do affect the way that the horses then kind of, and I will use the word expect us to show up, right? Like, it is kind of interesting to say, like, along the journey from the conventional world to kind of where I am now, that one of the biggest things I had to drop was expectation of horses, because that was one of the biggest things that got in the way of partnership, was like, is it partnership if you show up and expect, like you were saying, like, oh, I showed up and I was like, oh, we're going to do writing and they're doing something else. Like, I used to show up and just like grab the horse from the field and, well, we have a lesson in 20 minutes. So like, let's hop to it. Right. I'm late. I ran into this. I got to get you ready and warmed up. And it's like, they're just like, whoa, I was just chilling out. But I never thought of it from that perspective, because I expected that if I went out with a halter and a lead rope, they would stand still, get caught, come inside, be tacked up, and go do the lesson. Like, and then you shift and it's like, oh, actually, I need to drop expectation. That's not fair. And then it becomes a conversation of, so if it's not expectation, it's a trust. And I trust that if we show up together in this space based on like the way we have chosen to come together and have worked on that, because I think you do still have to like create boundaries and understanding of language and how we interact with our horses. It's not just like,
yeah,
it's not just a free for all. But I do think then the expectation kind of does shift onto the human as like, so I expect that then if we have created these boundaries, you're going to honor the way that we're asking you to show up.
Yeah.
Have you had that experience?
Yes. Yes. And what's coming to my mind as you're talking is the role, like how each human being, just like obviously with human design, but how we all have our own energetic blueprint, how we all have our own mission, our own dharma, and how ultimately the way I'm seeing it in this conversation is our horses are inviting us to step into that mission. And so for you being in the teacher and like the mentor and the guard, like that guide archetype, the black and whiteness to lean into, I'm wondering if that's also like the invitation is for you to teach yourself. Like, they've like, I can't really describe it, they've like come shown you how to come back into yourself, to go full circle into seeing things in a black and white, clear way within you, so that when you are in that archetypal energy, you have the experience of having applied the teacher element to yourself, you know?
Mm.
And how maybe with somebody else where their horses are a bit softer because their blueprint needs that. And it's, I feel like with them, it's the chameleon nature of seeing the essence of us. And then that's, I don't know, I'm really seeing this image of just like them shining this light and being like, this is your dharma, this is your purpose, go. But of course, the journey doesn't look like that. You know, the journey with them is mostly for us as humans. And this comes back to me, like sharing my story about going from conventional to the spiritual way of being with them, or the more energetic way of being with them. Our journey, our responsibility, if we've started off in that world, is to untangle and, you know, dismantle and like reprogram and almost like, I feel like every person who does that is collectively dismantling the conventional world as a collective energy. You know, it's like if each person is like a thread in the wheel, and then like they like are reprogramming and letting go and rewiring and then showing up in a new way and like dropping into their heart through doing the inner work and like making their shadows, that like all of that work, it's like they're these threads that make up the conventional world of the equine industry just like dropping away, because the new world is being built through that person. And that's like our responsibility. And we have like what, one, apparently, you know, depending on what you believe, like one lifetime and one tiny amount of time to do that. So it's a responsibility that like should be a devotion, I feel, and like gets to be a devotion. And this whole time while we're doing that, our horses are just shining this light in whatever way is necessary and being like, this is like, this is your dharma, this is your purpose, keep going, and whatever that is on your trajectory. So to answer your question specifically, yes, the black and whiteness and like more the role, I would translate it, is definitely what they've presented to me. But and it sometimes feels like a bit of a smackdown. especially for me, I notice when I'm really in my ego, then they're like straight, like just out of left field. And I've actually come to really, I wouldn't say appreciate, there's a different word. It's more like find gravity in that. There's like a gravity to that, to their ability to do that. And I've just been humbled so many times. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Same. Yeah, same. I think that is really what you brought up was so beautiful about, you know, I think like it goes back to the contracts. It's like we are matched with who we need in our journeys, and vice versa. And, you know, I think it's the same for the horses. So this is why the horses that are in my herd are in my herd, and why the horses in your herd are in your herd, because collectively, like there's that individual work, but then there's that collective work. And I think like, I hope that I didn't in any way sort of allude to comparing journeys as like some are better or more profound or whatever than others. I truly don't believe that. Because as you said, everyone stepping into whatever it is that they signed up for their journey is creating that new paradigm, right? Mm-hmm. And like, so not everyone's journey is going to look the same. And yes, we're going to have similarities. And it is fascinating that still like you and I do have so many similarities. Even we are both body workers, you know, there have been so many pieces that have aligned clearly for both of us along our journeys. And yet it doesn't mean that if someone never steps into, for example, a professional role in their journey with horses, that they're not having a massive impact in that, on the collective level. And I've actually seen so many people who are beautiful advocates for animals who do not work professionally with horses. It's just who they are in the world makes such an incredible impact and ripple effect out to everyone. You know, so I just really wanted to make sure that that was spoken to, because I also work with so many people who really become, and I mean, I did this too, like really become so focused on the purpose and like, I've got to like do the work. This is what I'm called to and my purpose. And it becomes almost this like, almost becomes like a shadow that then like follows you around all the time. And it like permeates every aspect of everything you do. And I see this a lot in the, like, everyone's recording themselves with their horses all the times and right. And everything's content and all that sort of stuff. But like, if you never record and share the thing, there's still such an energetic impact to being present to what is in the space with you and your horse. And also, sometimes sharing that out is really important and necessary. Like, there have definitely been times where I've shared something and I didn't really know what the impact was going to be in the moment. It just felt aligned to share it. And then it's like, wow, that was received by so many. And so it's just that always coming back to what's my alignment and what's my horse asking me to step into and what's my journey. And then just trusting that wherever that journey takes you is where you're meant to be, and that the impact on the collective, you know, it's happening. It's happening regardless of whether we're conscious of it or not. And I don't even think we like need to be. How do you feel? Like, I feel like your journey has been very kind of in the forefront. Like, what I mean by that is, I mean, like, people have seen you. You've been seen by a lot of people throughout your journey. In various ways. Do you feel like that's true?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point. I don't see it like that or feel it like that. I feel like, yeah. So it's interesting to hear you say that, because that's not.
Well, I was like, am I leading her into this question? Yeah, it's not your feeling of like how you experience it.
No.
Okay, that's so interesting. So I was going to say, like, do you feel like your journey has been more for yourself or like more for the benefit of the collective?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you for asking that. So I feel that my journey is more for the collective now. For a long time, there were two elements going on. Like, it was both, but I felt like I was focusing a lot on myself, and the horses held space and have and continue to, but really there was a big chunk of my life where they held space for a lot of personal healing. And because of those years, I now feel more confident to be able to focus more on being of service for the collective and actually like showing up for that. And that was an organic process for me. I mean, as one could say, like, for example, the book is being of service for the collective, because it totally is. And I remember when I went through my shift of, you know, from the conventional to the way I am now with them. And my main thing, this was years ago, this that came up, was I want to help people connect with their horses at a deeper level. And that's still the phrase that like always kind of reverberates through my being. And it's just the way that that is happening has shifted and kind of metamorphosized a bit. But I remember feeling like I was focusing on myself a lot in order to gain some like more clarity on what was happening for other people. Like, I would spend a lot of time just doing like being in my own inner process and like just being much more insular and asking the horses for help for me specifically. And then the healing language of horses actually came through me asking for help for me. And then I realized that it was actually more of a collective message that, or collection of collective messages for, you know, many, many other people or whoever, you know, the book comes across. And now when I go out and I sit with them, it's more, okay, what do you want humanity to know now, today? And so, and one of my mentors said to me in one of our sessions recently, she said that, you know, that shift has really happened. So we get to a point in our journey where we do a certain amount of inner work, and then the shift towards serving the collective in a more conscious way becomes more accessible. And even when I'm doing like my own inner work now, I'm always thinking about my ancestors. I'm always thinking about like the bigger picture. And so I would say now, yes, it's more focused on the collective, even though outwardly I can understand how, I can understand how it might look not necessarily seem like that, but a lot of what I've shared, whether it's on Instagram or on my blog or with clients, has come as a result of focusing so much on like my own healing and my own path and how am I connecting with the horses and all of that. So yeah, I would say it's been both, but I'm very happy now that collective energy of service is more there, because I did get to a point where I was like, oh my God, I feel so like self-centered almost. That was like, my inner critic. I was like, oh, I just, you know, why I'm like focusing on this theme again that I want to heal and be aware of. But actually, you know, whether it was self-centered or not, it was what was at that time. And when you were speaking just now, that's what came through for me, was ultimately when we're with our horses, what is like the most powerful thing in the world. And we can't miss it if we're in a state of presence with them. And so, yeah, sorry, I don't know why I brought that in, but that was just really important. Of, you know, if you need to go through whatever amount of time you need to go through, I'm saying this like a collective you, of focusing on your own inner healing, then just trust that like that point of service for the collective, as in like in a more conscious, outward, deliberate way, is coming, you know. And when I look at, you know, a lot of the things that the horses and I have shared online, they are so connected to everything and to all beings and all humans and all the plants and all the trees and like everything, and like that general vast collective and connected to everything message does kind of, I feel, ripple through the pieces that I've written that have been like their messages. And I am just kind of coming more online now to being more of service from my lens, you know. That makes sense. So it's like, it's now I feel more of the balance. Yeah.
I mean, what's your profile?
What, human design? Yeah. Mental project, like the whole thing.
Like your numbers.
I'm a 4-6.
Oh.
Well, like, now I want to hear you. Well, so.
Because that perfectly tracks, because you are meant to externalize your personal process. Like the 4-6, four is, you know, the opportunist, the networker, and the 6 is the role model. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, and your 4 is conscious. So consciously you are meant to have this network and externalize your journey that is very much in your design. And the 6 is unconscious, so it's like it's not even you're not even aware of the role model, you know, role that is in your design until you become aware of it. But like you've been living it this whole time, and I just had a feeling you had a six in there because the way you've been talking about your life, and because six lines, we live that tripartite life, right? Like that first 27, 28 years is a third line. And I know you did a lot of trial and error and exploring and doing this and doing that. And then, you know, now being in that second part where you're on the roof and got that broader view, broader perspective. And so that's exactly kind of what you've just been speaking to. It's like, okay, well, I was like really going through my own process. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at a point where I'm like able to see this bigger picture and see how it connects with the collective. And you're stepping into your voice more, that fourth line that's there to externalize exactly what you've been learning and what you will continue to learn to those who are waiting to hear it from you. So it's, I mean, that's like a kind of a simplistic view of it, but it's so there, like it's so in your design. And I just found that like, that's so, I just, you know how I love seeing it play out in the world.
Yeah. That is, really,
but I wonder, go ahead.
Because that like, so just to interject there, thank you for, again, just like speaking that out, because there is, even now when I look at, you know, where we're living now, the whole reason that we moved here is so that I, yes, could be connected to more community, you know, so bringing in the element of the collective. And, you know, that's our whole vision for this place, is to have community, to be connected to community. I'm building an eco house to leave as a legacy for people who come after me, you know, because so that it like exists for forever. And it's just thinking about exactly like you said, I've really been thinking about the bigger picture, and like the horses offer so much. And if we are living by their example, like what can I offer as I, like, I'm still learning how to, I think there is an element of safety too, like how to feel safe enough to be able to truly give to the collective from my heart. And the horses are like this constant example. If I need an example of that, or just to even tune into what that feels like energetically, they are there, you know, I just have to look out the window. And so yeah, that's really interesting, because community was never on my mind before, like at all. And then suddenly it just like began to drop in, and I couldn't ignore it. And so then I had to take the actions to make that a reality. And yeah, and it feels really strong. So yeah, thanks for highlighting that.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, I just find it so like fascinating and rewarding almost. I don't even know why rewarding, but like rewarding to witness someone take in their design and then like see it in their life and have that moment of like, oh my God, that's who I am. Like, yes, that's who I am. And there's this like beautiful like fusion of the way that it feels to be truly seen and also simultaneously recognize your gifts. And it's like, It's so fucking beautiful, you know? It's like, what? Oh my God. And so this is part of what I really love about human design. It's like, again, you know, it's never to me to then become your authority. It's a tool that you can apply to support yourself, just as we would use any tool like energy work or breath work or yoga, whatever tools you use, like herbs, essential oils, like anything that supports ourselves and all of our bodies, physical, energetic, mental, you know, emotional, all of our bodies, that human design can be that. But like it's just so wonderful to see someone like drop into that. It feels kind of like the closest thing I've experienced to what happens in a horse medicine session, because it's that same kind of feeling of, wow, I feel so, first of all, just like dropped into myself, which feels amazing in and of itself.
Yeah.
To then receive this beautiful gift of recognition, this is who I am. And then to be witnessed in that, it's like all the layers, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And yeah. Like throughout this conversation, this phrase has been coming in. And I feel like the horses are really offering this, which is, as human beings, like, we are just like here to witness each other. Mm. And whatever way that that happens, and like you just spoke to it so perfectly, of like being able to witness either yourself or another person dropping into themselves, and then witnessing them in that process, or them realizing their own gifts and witnessing that magic within them through the lens of whether it's horse medicine or human design or walking out in the woods. Like, we are just here to witness each other, like, and ourselves in each other, just like we're here to witness the ocean and the fact that we're in it. Like, and it's so simple. Like, it's like, if that's all we're doing, then we get to play around and experiment and explore the different ways that that wants to be expressed through us, you know. And if human design is a lens to do that, then like, fucking amazing, you know. But it's like, for somebody else, it might be, I don't know, like playing the piano for 8 hours a day. And like, it's so individualistic. And that's part of what, you know, you can't have somebody who doesn't make up the collective by their own unique, perfect individual blueprint. And being able to witness that. And can I just share a really short message that the horses said recently? And
by all means.
I'm paraphrasing it, so just bear with me. But basically the message was from Olympia, and she was saying like to remember the individual and to focus on the individual. And that was the basis of her message. And I was asking her about it because I was like, well, that's a very like, you know, for so many times I've written in my the book I have for them of like, we are one, unity, and all these different things, and like coming together. And then she was saying, no, just focus on the individual and allow, like, help that individual remember their individuality as much as you can. And I was like, oh, just so wise. I just can't handle it. And what, when I asked her like what the bigger picture of that was, you know, the image that I got was that every single person has obviously their own spectrum of color that they're expressing. And so, but people have forgotten that. And we've forgotten what our like color palette actually is and feels like in our body, like in our breath, in our voice, in like, what does our voice actually sound like? You know, all these different things. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that when we help each other to remember that, it's like one of the greatest gifts that you could do, because you're allowing that person to come back into the collective, which is obviously like a complete flip in and of itself. And it's very obvious message, but the way that she was expressing it was so powerful, because it can be very easy to be like, you know, we are one, and like what I'm reflecting back to you and what you're reflecting back to me is this, and like projection and all of those things. But the way that she worded it in terms of like, remember the individual, was so, it was so different, ironically. And yeah, and I think that that is a deep blessing that we can give people. And ultimately, you know, when you go to an ashram and you sit in darshan with someone, then it's like you're just being witnessed by that person, you're just being witnessed by the guru. They're seeing you in your whole essence through, like, you know, the perspective of that oneness. And if that doesn't like cut you open to your core, then nothing does, because you're feeling yourself, witnessing yourself through that being, and yet at the same time you feel so completely individualistic as yourself and who you are in that moment, you know.
And isn't that exactly what happens when we're witnessed by our horses? Yeah. And thank you so much for sharing that message, and thank you so much, Olympia, for speaking it, because I feel that this is why I've been so adamant about sharing human design specifically. I do love astrology as well, but where I really think astrology is interesting is where I just kind of see the astrological effects in my life more like in real time. With human design, it's the science of individuation. And the whole point is that we all came as individuals to add to the tapestry of the collective. And so I truly believe what she's saying. This is like, it almost sounds ironic, like, well, you know yourself and become more individual to return to the collective. Yes, exactly that. Because the more we tap into who we are, the less we are egotistical, competitive, comparing to one another, feeling lesser than, feeling lack, scarcity, all of these things go away. Victim, like all of these things go away because it's just like, no, I stand in my empowerment of who I am and my authenticity. I don't need to be like anyone else at all. And it's genuine. Like it's so genuine that then we get to like just be in that pure connection. Like so that when you have a win, I can genuinely celebrate it with you and not have that feeling of like, well, how come I didn't also win? Or I don't feel like, you know, I have what she has. Because it's a very real thing that happens in the world. When you live through a lens of scarcity or lesser than, anything that anyone else gets, receives, has that you don't becomes like, instead of celebrating them, it's like, well, poor me. And I just feel so deeply that if we all became more connected to who we authentically are, that we would organically then move from that heart space, that space of unconditional love, and that so many things that happen in the world would resolve because each individual would act from that place. And that's how I perceive her message of like, then we return to the collective. Returning to the collective means the one consciousness, the source, which is unconditional love, which is pure energy, right? So like, yes. Yes, please, more of this. And I am not saying I'm there, or that I'm, you know, some shining example of it. It's just like, it's where I see these pieces of what kind of have been brought into my life as my work, how they play out and fit together and benefit the collective by each one of us saying, yes, I'm going to do my work. Yes, I'm going to know myself. Yes, I'm going to act from that space of authenticity within me. And then we all just get to trust, like we get to trust ourselves and we get to trust each other. And this is where I think then there's just more harmony, because I don't know you at all, but I trust you implicitly. Like I truly do. And I know where that comes from. It's because I know that you do your work. And there's a layer of like, because I know how you are in co-creative partnership with your horses, that says a lot to me about you. So it's like, I feel like if you and I were out in the world together, that I would just trust you to move in a way that would be harmonious for both of us, and also taking care of yourself, like just as in a herd, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I went on a real tangent there, but.
I love what you said about you're not there yet, but these are the pieces that you've seen like unfold in your life. And what came to my mind was like, as you've come online, as certain parts of you have come online and you've actually like experienced them, and ultimately like we are working with parts of ourselves, you know, that are coming back home and our inner children and these different like unconscious fragmented elements that are just coming back into being and wholeness. So as like we but particularly you, as you were saying that, I was being like, come more online to yourself. That radiance of your authenticity is just like moving out and has been touching the work that you do and touching the people that you work with. And then ultimately is going to be reflected back to you potentially in them coming more online to themselves and their radiance.
Yes.
In that moment, like coming out and then yes. Like you're all like lighting each other up, and it's just like, and the horses are just like there. Present and like witnessing. The feeling is totally mutual in terms of the trust, and it's I think there's something I was speaking to a friend about recently where I said, we were talking about people who have, when you can really feel that somebody has gone or faced the darkness within them. We were talking about it through that, with that wording. And I was saying, you know, God, I really feel very safe around those people. when you can feel that somebody's really gone to a specific depth within them, or continues to also come out the other side and live with the kind of humble learnings of that, or strive to. And there's something that feels very safe and grounded about a soul who's chosen to be embodied. And yes, of course, that's reflected to us in our horses because they are so grounded. And at the same time, it's a choice. Like, it's like in today's day and age, like, you can numb in like 1 second. You know, it's a choice. It's a choice to stay online. And I think that we need to, kind of do need to, but we also get to like turn up the volume on our uniqueness and just do whatever it takes per individual to be able to make space for that, so that we can turn up the volume on being able to witness the externalized and like internalized collective, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think this is where, because we spend so much time connected online now, that it is so glaringly obvious, at least to me, and I think to many, when people are like not sharing the real truth of what's going on, you know, when they're clearly just putting forward what they think they should say or look like or act like or whatever, versus like the real rawness and authenticity of who they are and what they've been through. And I think this is why so many people now are demanding more of this real honesty in these spaces of like, how can I trust someone who looks like they've never had a bad day in their life? You know, it's like, that's impossible. It's just not possible. And so then it raises the question, like, well, so are they only posting those things because that's just what they want people to see? Or is it because they actually aren't aware of like their shadow aspects? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And so I feel like this is what's really kind of up right now, as far as in the collective and the way that we're connecting, is like that, not just permission, but almost like demanding of one another to like, let's be real. Let's really be real. So if we're going to share these things, let's share all of the things. Like, I'm not saying within reason, obviously, we still get to have privacy and personal lives. That's not what I'm saying. But if I only ever shared about the great moments, then nobody would know that I've walked a similar journey to them, and they wouldn't be able to see themselves in my journey, and they wouldn't receive any benefit from me sharing those things. Like, the reason why we feel connected to people is like, as you shared in your first episode, and I'm listening going like, oh yeah, she's been to some places. I've been to some of those same places. I can really resonate with what she's saying. And also I can learn from her journey and what she's sharing. And I can see parts of myself in a different light that help me grow and become more self-aware as well. Like, going back to what you're saying about all these reflections. And so if we only reflect the aspects of ourselves that we feel are like what we really want people to see, then we're all living in almost this like, it's not real. It's not the truth of what's going on. And I think that's also part of the cool thing about hanging out with horses, and why sometimes what we will do in a horse medicine session is just witness the herd. Like, we will call it observe the herd, and we just witness them and then sit back and like wait for things to trigger us, and then go like, oh, I didn't like observing that. Okay, why? And then this allows us to go into those aspects of self, those shadow pieces that are like now being illuminated for us to look at and take a different perspective on it. And so it can be so simple, and yet you do have to show up. You have to show up to do it. and be willing to look at those aspects of self that are maybe not so pretty. And right, like,
yeah,
but how do you do that unless you're with someone, as you say, who has welcomed that into their life and like actively participates in the unearthing of the muck and the shadows and the pieces of ourselves that, you know, there are many pieces of myself where I hear it, see it come out and go like, ooh, I do not like that aspect of myself. And then I have to sit with that and go like, okay, aspect of self that I don't like, first of all, I'm sorry I said I didn't like you. Thank you for showing yourself to me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Like what is here for me? Why do I need to see this now? And then, and then move through it so that it actually can be something of service to ourselves and then shining that light out to others. As you said, like, I loved that imagery that you were sharing, of all those lights just kind of getting brighter and brighter and like illuminating further and, you know, more of the color palette. Like it's such a beautiful image.
Yeah. Like the radiance of your purpose and of what you're showing, what you and everybody who is connected to that color palette is showing up for. And it's so ironic that sometimes we think that we need to shine in order to be seen, when actually we like the shining and the being seen comes through being honest can be more about feeling uncomfortable or admitting that, you know, we haven't seen something, and then getting and being real with that and going to those places that we wouldn't necessarily let other people see, but we know that we have to see them. And then as a result, we end up being seen more, you know, even if we're not looking for it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there were so many things I wanted to say to Sen when you were speaking, but they've all just gone out of my head. I have to hang on a sec. Yes, that was it. Can I say something? Is that cool?
Of course.
Yeah. I feel like also on our journey, as we continue, if you're really into self-development and there's a lot of that in your life and you continue to evolve, then what I've noticed is that the people that I can speak for myself, the people I feel comfortable spending time with, have really changed. And in a very kind of non-controlled way. And they've changed because when I've really looked at it, it's because that depth that we were talking about at the beginning, in terms of meeting each other at the bottom of the ocean and feeling pretty comfortable at that level of the ocean, and also at the same time being like, huh, like what's below this level? You know, what's underneath the bottom? Like, if I just move this like ocean bed out the way, like what's underneath there?
And because
everything is energy and everybody's giving off energy all the time, and it really does tell the truth, as again, spending time with horses is so good for like building that muscle of finding that out and then moving through the world that way. I noticed that I feel a lot more comfortable now spending time with people who are able to operate at a depth that does reflect where I'm also willing to go. However, having said that, there is a space for the mother archetype to really be present in the relationships where the shift has happened, and for compassion to be really present. And that's something that I've really been feeling into. I know we spoke about this a bit in the episode that we did for my podcast. I've really been feeling into the mother archetype recently, and how compassion and discernment, like what you were talking about earlier, was really like discernment about people online, people who were sharing, you know, a snapshot moment, or, you know, is that their real life, like really, or is it an element of themselves that they want, you know, to put out in that moment, and discerning. I think where people are able to go, and then having like real compassion and real acceptance for that. That's been something that I've been working on recently. Like understanding that where I'm able to go on my path right now, whether it's with my horses or in my own personal practice, which is all the same thing, but you know what I mean? Like personally in my own meditation practice or when I'm with the herd, it's really just what my consciousness is available for at this time. And that's the same for everyone. And at the same time, if you're committed to some form of evolution, then the people who come in and out of your life are going to change, because they can't not. And that's the whole point, is we are here to kind of hold each other's hands in some either literal or symbolic way. And part of that is to be able to be in that deep, gritty, shitty, uncomfortable place and say, like, I see you anyway, and I'm here with you, and I witness you, and like, I fucking love that you're there. Which is exactly what the horses do, obviously. And yeah, I just wanted to touch on, like, speak to that in terms of it is both. Like, it's important to have compassion and acceptance for people where they're at, and at the same time to notice where you're at in terms of whether it feels comfortable to be with people who can only go to a certain depth or not. And that's okay. Like, that's fine. That's something I've been working on, like giving myself permission to just transition into like a different group or a different, just a different like quality of relationship, because it's something that I also need on a personal level.
That's such an important piece. I'm so glad you shared that. It feels like that is such a big conversation I have a lot with my bodywork students and with the people who come into our advocate container. It's just this conversation around everyone is moving through the world at their level of consciousness. And so we can only speak to what someone is able and willing to receive. If that's all that can be received. And, you know, this is another conversation I have with a lot of people when I human design charts, because for some reason, a lot of people end up coming who have things in their design where they need to be asked to share their wisdom in order for it to be received. Like, we can all go around sharing our truth, but if it wasn't asked for, it may not be received as wisdom. It may be received as, right, judgment or an unwelcomed opinion. And so you can have the best intention, but if you share it from your own place of consciousness and not to the level of consciousness that the person you're sharing it with is holding, it just might not land. And then this is where I see a lot of people get frustrated in the process of advocacy, especially for horses. Well, they just won't listen, or they're just not willing. That's true, because they can't yet. And so that compassion that you spoke to, I think it was a big lesson the horses taught me around how do I speak to clients when the horse is sharing with me their truth, and I'm trying to suss out if the human is available to receive it or not. And it really goes back to that trust. And what I believe is that all animals have sovereignty and they choose the people that they're with. And so if there is a horse who is asking me to bridge a gap between them and their human, it's my responsibility to do that kind of investigative work and ask the questions to find out if that person can receive it and in what ways can they receive it. And that's kind of that skillful piece of advocacy, is not just because I have this information that you don't have, I don't just get to share it with you. There's a permission piece involved in that, you know? And I think that can be really difficult for people to wrap their heads around when it comes to, well, I see a horse being harmed, so there's no permission there. Like, that horse is being harmed. That's not there's no permission being given. Why don't I have permission to share that fact with the person? And it's complex. It's an episode in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I just think it's so important that you brought that up, because I think the compassion is the first thing to go when we step into like, well, but I don't want to see what I'm seeing. And also what I've really learned is that when I see something that I don't want to see, I need to ask myself why I'm uncomfortable seeing it.
And
not project it out, because the horses have told me many times, like, your projection onto us doesn't actually support anyone's growth. Yeah. And that was hard for me. Like, that was really hard. Dilara, I could talk to you all day long, and I feel like we could just keep going, but I do just want to kind of ask, in wrapping up and honoring your time, like, what feels really like up for you right now that you are feeling called into as far as your work with the horses, and like what you're feeling called to kind of share and externalize with the collective?
Space. Creating space for the old ways to crumble. And even if those old ways have been really productive and have seemed like the way and the path, what I'm really being called into at the moment by the horses is to create space, and actually spaciousness, like within my mind, within my body, literally creating space in my calendar and creating the space for them to show me the next step, to which looks like the old ways falling away.
So do you mean creating space so that you can receive what is being asked of you next in support of those old systems crumbling away? Is that my understanding you correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. So be creating the space in order to receive the information that is required now to step into something new. And then at the same time, creating space to actually do the work that's required within me to step up into being the person that is required to hold space for the something new. You know, it's both, but the initial phase now is the space to listen. It's huge. It's like everywhere I turn in my life, that's the main thing, is creating space to listen. And I know that that's something that ultimately, when we step onto a new phase of our path, that is one of the first steps, is being able to hear what is needed to help us do that. And even what the next phase is, because we might have no idea, but we know that something's coming.
Very cool. I mean, I'm like personally very excited to see what you're called into.
Yeah. So am I. When I know what it is, I'll let you know. I could probably talk about it a lot, but just to simplify it as a message, it's space. Because our space is so filled at the moment with our phones, ideas, work, action, you know, pushing. And there's something incredibly sacred about creating space that feels sovereign. You know, to go into the name of this podcast, it feels like a very sovereign thing to be able to do. And it's what the horses are really asking and showing, even in their, like, the constellations, in the way that they are physically sometimes. They're like in these huge grids, and like the messages are, you know, just the obvious like reminder of the power of space when we let ourselves step into the reality that it's possible to receive that.
I'm like, hell yeah. That is so powerful.
And it's so simple, right? Doesn't that strike you as incredibly simple? Like space. Full stop.
You know, Dilara, where I am currently in like the largest sort of contemplation struggle is duality and non-duality. I just see them both so present all the time. that even to say duality and non-duality, just, it's like, why do we even have to, you know? But yes, it's, and like, this is what I'm hearing you saying is, it's like, do you know the Wei Wu Wei?
Yes.
It's like,
but I'm
action without action.
That's it, yeah.
You know, or what I kind of perceive it as is like a lot of action, which means it's in flow. So when I hear you saying the horses are out in these constellations, you know, emanating and amplifying their energy out into the world, that feels like it's like they were clearly called to gather in that way, in that very specific way. And then by doing so, they no longer have to do anything because it's like it clicks in. I actually had this experience, like, I know we're trying to close, and yet this thing is so in the forefront of my mind with these two mares recently who kept moving in this way. And I was like, why do I keep seeing triangles? Like, there's only two of them, but I kept seeing triangles. And then they moved in such a way that they like clicked me in to like the top point of the triangle. Yeah. And this whole like energetic, like, I don't even know what, it was just like whoosh. And I have a full body goosebumps. I'm just like, what is happening right now? And then I just experienced it. And then one of them said something to the effect of like, so like, now you know what we're capable of. And then they just like disconnected and went back off into what they were doing. And I was like, what the like, okie dokie. So I'm like, I'm not sure what to do with that, but that was like really cool. And it just feels like such an example of this, like horses are doing this. Like they're such these grid workers. I kind of see them on a similar level as like whales in that, you know, how they're grounding. Yeah. They're always grounding. I mean, like, you know, we've been talking about the ocean too. So that feels, but like, and I really learned this through my Dido mare when she was asking me to take her shoes off. She always had front shoes. Her feet were terrible, quote unquote. She's like, you got to take my shoes off. I can't do my work. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And she was trying to say like, I need to have my bare feet on the ground so I can do my grounding work. Like that's what horses are here partly doing. We're grounding energy. And then I thought about every horse that had shoes on and was like, oh my God. And it, yeah, like it became one of those moments where you're like, now that you know, you want to show up from the rooftops, but no, that's like, that's a very human ego thing of like, just to share it with it. Like, no, you can hold that now. You can witness it. You can embody that as wisdom. And then you can share that if and when it's time to share that. But like, this just goes back to what we were talking about before. I'm like, I don't know what the horses are up to all the time. I just know they're doing things that are very clearly important and having a massive impact. And so the more, and you know, to go back to your space, the spaciousness, like the more we can give them space in their sovereignty to do the work they're doing as a collective. You know, I think that the more we all get to benefit from the residual effects of whatever all that is.
Definitely. And I feel like they are, the message that's coming through anyway, is like, they are doing it. They will do it regardless. And at the same time, there are different degrees of spaciousness within the different constellations of horse to human. Like in terms of, like, you work with your herd, and I imagine, so please correct me if I'm not right, there's a lot of spaciousness within the work that you do. There's a lot of witnessing. There's a lot of like reverence towards them and learning from them and understanding that they're doing their work. And
yes,
you're on that, in that space of the spectrum. And a horse that is playing polo and is in a box 24/7 with shoes on, with, you know, all of the things, that horse could still be doing its grid work. And I'm not saying that it is or it isn't. I'm saying that horses are incredibly powerful beings, and they have embodied within their consciousness and within their bodies, and they're able to call in energy regardless of whether they're in their discipline or not. It's just that are they being given the space to actually step into that at a full level? And the answer is going to be very different when you look at that example next to yours. And at the same time, that horse is there for a reason. And that can be something that's really hard to swallow. But it is true, you know, and that's another yes. podcast episode.
I know. We definitely just had like 5 podcast episodes come up in this one. In this so closing. Much. Yeah, in this closing. Dilara, you're just such a gift. Thank you so much for sharing who you are in this space.
Thank you. Angela, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for your time and your energy and for just creating the space for horses to be who they are so that you can also witness other people as they become who they are. It's just like blows my mind. And I've loved connecting with you so much. I'm so grateful for all of your reflections. And I can't wait to do this again.
Hopefully. Well, like right back at you. Ditto 100%.
Thank you so much for joining me here. I sincerely hope you found resonance within this episode. If you did, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Instagram at equineelevation, or you can find me online at equineelevation.com. Until next time.